Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, everyone. Let us turn to the book of Acts, and the passage that I'm going to read today found in chapter 9 and verse 1 to 19. We are going to deal with the salvation or the Yeshua, the salvation of Shaul of Tarsus, this individual that have persecuted the Jewish believers in Jerusalem and then in Judea and elsewhere. Here we find out in chapter 9 how Shaul, whose name is also called Paul, became a believer in Yeshua the Messiah. Let me read those 19 verses, please. Follow me. And Shaul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Shaul, Shaul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Yeshua, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And a man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Shaul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, they brought him unto Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Hananiah. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Hananiah. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Shaul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Hananiah coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Hananiah answered, Lord, I have heard by many of these men how much evil has he done to the saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I must show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Hananiah went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Shaul, the Lord, even Yeshua, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then was Shaul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Now, I'm going to stop here in this verse. Actually, the story about Saul, Paul, is continuing on up till verse 31. But I took a break here because of the fact that there's a lot of material here to cover, and I thought it would be much better to stop here in verse 19 of this chapter and to just discuss and minister on these verses. First of all, as we are moving into chapter 9, in our last sessions together, we talked about chapter 8 and how the persecution of the early believers in Jerusalem after the death of Stephen, the persecution that occurred in the city of Jerusalem, and then later on, if you remember, how in Samaria there was a great revival that God used Philip in Samaria, and moving from Samaria, he sent him to one individual, Ethiopian eunuch, to lead him to Yeshua the Messiah. And how was wonderful when this Ethiopian eunuch was reading in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. When this Ethiopian eunuch was reading this passage in the prophet Isaiah, Philip was led by the Lord to lead him to the person of Yeshua the Messiah. And we saw that he preached unto him Yeshua, Jesus, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. And so now we are moving from this man from Ethiopia, and now we are led into another man. And this man is this one that was very well known as the persecutor of the church, of the assembly in Israel. Now again, I would like to remind you, when Shaul was persecuting believers, he persecuted Jewish believers. This is important to understand it. He didn't persecute non-Jewish believers in Yeshua, but he persecuted his own brethren with the conviction that he had that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have revealed to Israel the truth, and believing in Jesus, in Yeshua the Messiah, was believing in a foreign God, believing in a false teaching, believing in a false Messiah. And so we read in the first verse of Acts chapter 9, verse 1, we read that Shaul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Notice that verse 1. He was breathing out slaughter. Now, if you would just for a moment turn back to chapter 7 of our book of Acts, and you notice that Shaul witnessed the persecution of Stephen, the killing of Stephen. If you remember, it said in chapter 7 and verse 58, and those witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet by the name of Shaul. You see, Shaul was witnessing. He was there when Stephen was stoned. He was there when Stephen was accused. He was witnessing these dear brothers and sisters. He was there observing it because he felt before the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that Stephen was preaching false teaching. In fact, if you're going to go to chapter 8, and you notice what it says in verse 1 and verse 3, in verse 1 it says, and Shaul was consenting unto his death. This word consenting in the Greek is really found pleasure in the death of Stephen. It's actually meaning he was approving of the stoning of Stephen. Can you imagine? He stood there. He watched false accusation against Stephen, but he also was consenting to his death. And if you read in verse 3 of Acts chapter 8, it says that Shaul made havoc of the church, which was in Jerusalem. He made havoc of the church, entering every house, hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Can you imagine? He made havoc of the Jewish believers in Jerusalem and in Judea, in the area, in the land. He was really persecuting them. He was making havoc of them. And can you imagine what must it have been for the early Jewish believers, a great minority in Israel, who loved their brethren, wanted to let their brethren know about the Messiah. But their brethren did not understand, they did not accept Yeshua the Messiah. But Shaul, according to chapter 9, it was not sufficient for him to persecute the believers in the land. So well, you know what he did? He wanted to go beyond the borders of Israel to get a hold of those Hebrew believers in Yeshua the Messiah, which were outside of the land. So you know what he did? According to verse 1 and verse 2, Shaul, hatred towards the believers in Yeshua, caused him to ask for, as it says, letters from the high priest in order to go to Damascus and there to continue the persecution of the Hebrew believers. And so we read, he was breathing out threatening. He was breathing out slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He went unto the high priest, and verse 2 says, he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found, now notice that, any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So the letters that he wanted from the high priest is a letter of authority to come to another city in Damascus. And there in Damascus, apparently at that time, there was a large Jewish community there. And there were those that had been exposed to Yeshua the Messiah who had believed in him, but they still remained connected in the synagogues. So for them, even though they believed that Yeshua was the Messiah, they were still going to the synagogues. And so it seemed to be that there was a lesson here. First of all, a lesson for them to learn that, well, you cannot mix that which the synagogue teaches when they reject the Messiah and that which the Lord teaching concerning himself and the work of redemption, and they end up staying in a synagogue. And so Shaul took letters from the high priest to go to Damascus in order to persecute those believers in that city. Now notice what it calls here in verse 2. It says that if he found any of this way, notice his expression, this way. It was not yet called, if you will, Christianity. But this way means the way that was taught to them by the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. This way, it was known among the Hebrews, among the Jewish community, of a group of people who are following this way. This is a title for believers that had been given to the early believers, the Jewish believers in Yeshua the Messiah. In fact, if you remember what Yeshua said in John chapter 14, when he was speaking to his disciples, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one come to the Father but by me. Yeshua himself called himself as the one that is the way. That expression, the way or this way, is something that was always mentioned by our people Israel of old. For example, in Psalm chapter 1, we read of the way of the ungodly and the way of the godly. You remember in chapter 1, and I'm reading just verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This expression, the way, is an expression that was used in first century to apply to those who believe in Yeshua the Messiah. In fact, in the book of Acts itself, how many times the expression the way is mentioned there? Many times. It's mentioned in Acts 19 and verse 9, verse 23. It's mentioned in Acts 22 and verse 4. This way, the way, it simply means that those who follow the way of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And notice the word synagogues is plural. There's no one synagogue. Apparently, in the city of Damascus, there was more than one synagogue. The Jewish community was a large Jewish community. And so there were synagogues in one area and another area. Only in Damascus, beloved brothers and sisters. Today, in Damascus, in Syria, there are very few Jewish people today. But the point is, at that time, there were many, many Jewish people in this city of Damascus. Shaul take letters. He's going to Damascus in order to cause them affliction and to bring them bound to the city of Jerusalem. What motivated him to do that? He felt that it was love for his God. He felt that he was doing it because he loved the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in loving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he hated to see, according to his understanding, teaching that was contrary to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you know, brothers and sisters, unless a person is enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God, he or she cannot understand divine truth. Even Shaul, with all the measure of learning that he had in the school of Gamaliel, who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he himself needed to have light to understand that Yeshua is the Messiah. So I would like to suggest a few things about Shaul here before we're going to move to the next verses. The first thing that I would like to suggest about Shaul, Saul, Paul, that he was spiritually blind. As a Jewish man, like those of us who are Jewish, coming from a Jewish background, we were spiritually blind. Yes, we had the Old Testament in our hands. Yes, we had the Tanakh, the Bible in our hands, but we were spiritually blinded to the Messiahship of Jesus. We couldn't understand it. In fact, if you please for a moment, turn with me to the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read you a verse that Paul, that Shaul wrote to the Corinthian after he had been enlightened by the Lord. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, concerning his own nation, Israel, and not as Moses, which put the veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But notice that their minds were blinded, for until this day, there remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, the Tanakh, which veil is done away in Mashiach, in Messiah. You see, Shaul, Paul, knowing his own background as a Hebrew, Israeli, Jew, who was a religious man, and he himself write later on, after he became a believer, he's writing about his own brethren, which he was part of before his salvation. He says, listen, until these days, their mind is blinded because when they read the Tanakh, the Old Testament, without seeing the Messiah there, until this day, they are still blinded. And the veil is done away only in Yeshua, the Messiah. Paul was blinded. He couldn't see spiritual things before he became a believer in Yeshua, the Messiah. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 what he said also in verse 14. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see what he's saying, dear brothers and sisters, that naturally, men by nature, Israel of old, before they have acknowledged Yeshua the Messiah, and he's speaking of himself, that he himself was spiritually blind before he became a believer in Yeshua the Messiah. And I would like to say that if anyone here is without Yeshua the Messiah, that you are spiritually blind. Just the same like we were spiritually blind. We are not better. We were spiritually blinded because we did not see the truth of the Messiahship of Yeshua. And we rejected him. We didn't want him, like Shaul, like Paul. So that's the first thing that we want to say about Shaul, that is something that before we are going to go to the next verses. Secondly, I want to suggest today, dear brothers and sisters, about Shaul, not only that he was spiritually blind, but secondly, Shaul depended upon his own righteousness to be right with God. He depended upon his own merits. Earlier, we read Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. And Isaiah wrote to our brethren, the nation of Israel, and this is the confession of the nation of Israel, which they said, we are all as unclean thing, Isaiah 64:6. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we are all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Isaiah prophesied to the nation of Israel 750 years prior to the Messiahship of Yeshua, telling them, listen, Israel, you will have to come to a point that you will acknowledge that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Because all the good deeds that we do and all the righteousness that we do come from the old nature and is not sufficient for a holy and a righteous God. And that's why the second problem that we want to mention about Paul, about Shaul, is that he depended upon his own righteousness. And how sad it is today when men and women and people in many religious groups depend upon their own righteousness. They think, I can attain righteousness from God by acting or doing something. This is exactly the problem of Adam and Eve in the garden when they have covered their nakedness with fig leaves. And even if they covered their nakedness with fig leaves do not avail. God had to cover them with the garment of skin of an animal that became a sacrifice for them. And so we learn here that he trusted in his own righteousness. And you know, he mentioned a lot about himself, Paul, later on when he wrote to the Philippians, and he said to them, you know what, do you want to compete with me who had more righteous living in his life? He said to them, look, in Philippians 3 verse 4, he says, if you think about having confidence in the flesh, he says, I have so much more to be confident in my own flesh. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrew. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I was persecuting the assembly. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, I was blameless. That's what he says about himself. He had the kind of a godly life that he could say, righteousness, I was blameless. He have had a righteous life, righteous living, and he have trusted in his righteous living in order to be declared just by God. And that's why he had so much confidence in himself. That's why when he saw other brethren of his, Hebrew brethren, believing in Yeshua the Messiah, he was ready to persecute them. He was ready to tell them that they were wrong. They are going astray. They are not following the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the first one, he was spiritually blind. The second thing, he was depending upon his own righteousness. And I trust, brothers and sisters, that we all understand it. We cannot trust our own merits, our own righteousness, because all our righteousnesses before God are totally filthy rags. And we need righteousness that we receive from somebody else without merit, without work, without anything that we have done. The third thing that I would like to say about Shaul is that Shaul thought that Yeshua died and done away. He thought, here we go, he said, listen, they talked about Yeshua the Messiah. I heard about him. I was a witness to the truth that really he died. He's no longer in existence. And you know, they're starting to tell us that he's alive, but I don't believe it. He did not believe that Yeshua rose from the dead and had been ascended to heaven. And he needed to learn that. A lot of people today, just the same like Shaul, like Paul, thinking that Jesus had died. He's dead. They don't recognize that he's alive. That he's living at the right hand of God the Father. That he's moving about among his people in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That he's coming again to judge this world in righteousness. He didn't realize that. He was blinded spiritually. He was pride is self-righteous, and he thought that the story about this Jesus has ended when he died. He made a mistake because throughout the early parts of the book of Acts, the disciples again and again spoke about the resurrection of the Messiah. Even Peter said, "This Yeshua God raised from the dead, whereof we are his witnesses," Peter said. We have been witnesses of Yeshua, that he was raised by God. He has been raised from the dead. And Stephen, if you remember at the end of chapter 7 in our study together earlier, Stephen, we read, looked steadfastly and he saw the glory of God and Yeshua standing at the right hand of God. Acts chapter 7 and verse 55. He had those three problems like many have today. Number one, blinded spiritually, cannot see beyond the scripture, cannot understand the things of God. Secondly, they have trust in their own self-righteousness. And thirdly, they think that this Jesus that they have heard about has finished, has died. When he has gone to the cross, he died and he's away, and there is no need to talk about him anymore. Well, in the next verses of Acts chapter 9, we see the Lord now reveal himself to Shaul. Look what we read here in verse 3. After the point that I've spoken here in verse 3, we see now he's seeing a vision that came from heaven. We read in verse 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him light from heaven." Can you imagine the sight? He's going on a way to Damascus with some people along that he took with him. As he is riding and going on a way to Damascus, all of a sudden the Shekinah glory, we call it in Hebrew the Shekinah, all of a sudden there came upon him a light that came from heaven. This light is interesting because many times in the Bible we see some unique situation. For example, if you remember, the Magi, the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, saw a star.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.